Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalan yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always give us knowledge that brings us closer to Him, always give us those actions that will gain His love, and always give us the love of those people whom He loves. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, this is our weekly halaqa series called The Two Migrations. We're studying a book called Tariqul Hijratain, The Method for the Two Migrations. And this is an amazing book written by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we've been getting so many gems studying this book. And last week, alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity of studying and going over some of the aspects of sabr, right? Some of the aspects of a very important part of spiritual development, and a very important aspect of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the concept of sabr. And many people think sabr simply means to be patient. And that's not really it. There's so much more to the concept of patience. Can you guys on Instagram hear me pretty well, inshallah? Can you guys hear me fine, inshallah? Just give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear me, inshallah. All right. So there's so much more to the concept of sabr than just patience. Very often is translated as patience. But what we started to learn last week was that sabr actually has three different types of sabr, right? And for those on Instagram, you can see it on the screen right now. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he says, "Anna sabr thalathata aqsam." There are three different types of sabr. And this is very important because what it teaches us, brothers and sisters, when we learn this, when we not only learn it, but really get the message deep in our heart, it gives us the ability to deal with the various situations that we find ourselves in. It gives us the ability to persevere, get through those, and get through them, not only just survive, but thrive in those situations. Get as close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as possible in those situations. And so I just want to recap the three types of sabr, and then we're going to go right into the one for this week, inshallah ta'ala. So the author, he says, "Anna sabr thalathata aqsam," that there are three different types of patience. He says, number one, "Imma sabr anil ma'siyah, fala yarkabuha." He says, "Yartakibuha." He says, number one is sabr or patience from sin, meaning that you don't commit sin. You stay away from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the one we're actually going to speak about today, inshallah ta'ala. "Wa imma sabrun ala ta'a." The second one, which is well known also, is sabr ala ta'a, which means sabr, the ability, hatta yu'addiha, the ability to hold yourself and force yourself to do the actions that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So waking up for Fajr salah, staying up for Isha salah, you know, even waking up for Tahajjud salah, subhanAllah. It takes a level of holding yourself and pushing and forcing yourself, and that's called sabr. And the next one is wa imma sabr ala al baliya. This is what we're going to talk about this week. It's sabr ala al baliya, or patience on calamities. This is big because, brothers and sisters, life ain't perfect, man. Life ain't perfect. It wasn't meant to be perfect. It wasn't designed to be perfect. By design, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make this Jannah. This is not Jannah. And there will be calamities. But here's the deal. If you know how to handle those calamities, if you know how to understand those calamities, if you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually trying to teach you through those calamities, then subhanAllah, life becomes so beautiful, because no matter what you're going through, you realize there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for you to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that calamity. Okay, so let me go through. Let's first deal with sabr alal musa'ib or balaya. So last week we talked about patience on or patience when we're dealing with sin. This week we're talking about number one, sabr alal balaya. He says, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, as-sabr alal balaya yansha'u min asbab al-'adida. He says, your ability to be patient during a calamity is based on a few things that you can think about and attach to in order to get through the calamity. He says, number one, shuhudu jaza'iha wa thawabiha. So a lot of life, brothers and sisters, and a lot of the things that we learn from the deen is about where you put your focus, what you're focusing on. And the same thing with the calamity. When we're going through calamity, it's extremely important for us to know where we're supposed to be focusing. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to focus on as I'm going through this calamity? And so what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, number one, the number one thing that will help you and me get through the different calamities. Brothers, yo, there's gonna be calamities. They happen. It could be losing a family member. It could be losing wealth. You know what I'm saying? It could be fear. It could be so many ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these calamities come. SubhanAllah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, even a thorn that pricks you is a calamity. Even a thorn that pricks you is a calamity. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you realize, okay, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to focus on so I get through, not only survive, but thrive through the calamity that I'm going through? So he says, number one, shuhudu jaza'iha wa thawabiha. The first thing that you need to help you get through the calamity, brothers and sisters, is your ability to witness or focus on the reward and the blessings that you're getting through that calamity. So what does that mean? He's actually going to go through some of those right now. He says, athani, number one, shuhudu takfiriha lisayyi'at wa mahwiha laha. He says, focusing, number two, second thing that's going to help you get through the calamity. He says, number two is what? Your ability to witness and focus on and see that this calamity is taking away your sins, wa mahwiha laha, and removing those sins away from you. So again, it's about focus. I'm going, subhanAllah, you know, you go to the gym or you're doing one of those HIIT workouts, right? You're doing one of those HIIT workouts and your body is sweating, you know, you're drenched in sweat, you're tired, you're out of breath, but you're able to realize I'm burning calories. And that ability to focus on the caloric burn is helping you get through the burn of the workout. So when you're able to focus on the fact that this calamity I'm going through is wiping away those sins, burning those, you know, caloric sins, if we could say that, if we could see that, then now it gives us that ability to not only go through it patiently, but have what we call sabr jameel, beautiful patience. And we're going to talk about that as we move forward, inshallah ta'ala. So number one, he said, what's going to help you get through calamities? Looking at the reward, looking at the thawab that you get. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Just put that right there. Like write that down on something and put that in front of you. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. So if I'm patient on this calamity, guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, right? That's just one reward. There's another hadith that says the only reward for sabr is Jannah. The only reward for sabr is Jannah. So that's number one. Number two, witnessing or focusing on. I want us to look at the word shuhud. He uses the word shuhud. Shuhud means to see something, to focus on it. And what I'm trying to get us to understand is when you're in the calamity, shaitan will try to get you to focus on so many things. People will try to get you to focus on so many things. But what he's teaching us here is what does Allah want you to focus on when you're going through that calamity? So number three, let's look at number three, inshallah ta'ala. And this one is beautiful. He says, الثالثُ شُهُودُ الْقَدْرِ السَّابِقِ الْجَارِ بِهَا وَأَنَّهَا مُقَدَّرَةٌ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ قَبْلَ أَن تُخْلَقْ فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْهَا فَجَزْعُهُ لَا يَزِيدُهُ إِلَّا بَلَاءً. This is so beautiful, brothers and sisters. Write this down, memorize it, record it, do what you got to do. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah is dropping gems on us that will help us through the hard times of life. He says the next thing that will enable you to get through the difficult moments in life, the loss of loved ones, the loss of wealth, whatever the calamity, he says, shuhudul qadr sabiq al-jari biha. Focusing and witnessing and realizing that this was preordained by Allah. وَأَنَّهَا مُقَدَّرَةٌ فِي الْأُمِّ الْكِتَابِ, and that this was written down in Umm al-Kitab. Yo, you know sometimes you get a ticket, right? You know sometimes you're getting a ticket. Let me say it like this. You know sometimes you're getting a ticket. The cop pulls you over, right? The cop pulls you over. It's like, sir, ma'am, hijabi, kufi, dadiwala, whatever. Like, yo, you were speeding, right? And you know, before he brings out the pen, you kind of debate with him, right? You go, yo, you know, I was in a rush. You know, my wife, da 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 da. I was trying to get to the masjid. Well, you might not say to the masjid, but whatever. You know, you try to make excuses before, right? But when you realize, and when he takes out that pen and starts writing, what happens psychologically once he takes out the pen and starts writing? What do we do? What happens mentally? What happens mentally? You change. You're like, oh, forget this dude. You like, forget, yo, whatever. Yeah, I was speeding. Yeah, okay, go, write it. Because he's already writing. And you're like, yo, there's no changing it now, man. There's no changing it now. He already wrote it. And so, subhanAllah, yeah, when he goes back to his car, it's over. So when he comes back, your whole attitude switches. Before he wrote it, you were making excuses. After he wrote it, you were like, all right, yeah, okay, give it. I got to go. Okay, cool. I'm going to just do the driving school anyway. All right, come on, let's go. You just, subhanAllah, somebody's like, you just take the L straight up. So subhanAllah, why am I giving that example? You lose a loved one. You lose your job. You lose wealth. You lose your name. You lose whatever is valued in society today, right? You get canceled, right? You get canceled, subhanAllah, right? At that moment, you sit back. If you focus on the fact that this was written already, if you look back and focus, this was written for me already, there's a type of peace and tranquility that descends upon the heart at that moment where you're just like, there's no way I could have gotten out of that ticket. It was written for me. And so he says, فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْهَا. It had to happen. But look what he says next. فَجَزْعُهُ لَا يَزِيدُهُ إِلَّا بَلَاءً. He says, you realize at that point that your anxiety, your worry, your literally anxiety and worry only makes the calamity worse. SubhanAllah, heavy stuff. He's dropping gems on us. Your anxiety is only making that thing worse by looking at the fact that it was already written. You're like, yo, there's no way I could have got out of this. There's no way. And if it was written, it's written. Alhamdulillah. So he says the third step, guys, these are all independent. Each of these is so independent from one another. Each of these, for whenever you're going through a hardship, you use each one of these, whatever one hits you better at that moment, right? So then he goes, let's go to number four. Bismillah. Remember, for those who are joining late, we're reading a book that is talking about having patience at the time of calamities and how do we get through calamities. We've already studied three things that can help us have patience in the time of calamities. We're now moving on to number four, all right? And you can see some of it on your screen. The picture didn't come out too good on Instagram, but it's all good, all right? So the next one, number four is shuhuduhu, number four, shuhuduhu haqqallahi alayhi fi tilka albalwa. Again, what are you focusing on, right? What are you focusing on, right? What's your mind focusing on? Am I focusing on the fact that I could have averted this? I could have averted this. Listen, a lot of brothers in the comments are asking about free will. Yo, listen up. Free will is what you think about before it happens. After it happens, free will is out the door, bro. There's no more free will. It already happened. We're talking about dealing with calamities that have already happened. You're talking about before it already happens, free will. So there's no match there. The thing you're supposed to focus on after it happens, is I had no way around that. There was nothing I could have did. Before it happens, I'm doing everything I can. I'm hustling. I'm doing whatever I can. And so that's how we understand free will. Right now, we're talking about the calamity already hit, man. The calamity already hit. So when the calamity has already hit, now how do I reconcile? How do I deal with it? That's what we're focusing on. So number four. I didn't want to leave y'all hanging. I saw the questions. I didn't want to leave y'all hanging. So, شهود حق الله عليه في تلك البلوى وواجبه فيها فهو وهو الصبر بلا خلاف بين الأئمة أو الصبر والرضا على أحد القولين فهو مأمور بأداء حق الله وعبودته عبوديته عليه في تلك البلوى. All right, number four that will help you get through any calamity. Subhanallah. He says, witnessing the right of Allah upon you in that moment. See, look, the worst feeling is the feeling of not being able to do anything, the feeling of helplessness. How do we overcome the feeling of helplessness? He's teaching us right now, brothers and sisters. He says, the way you overcome helplessness is you witness or look at or focus on what Allah wants from you at that moment. What is it that Allah wants from you at that moment? So, and he says, and what is it that Allah wants? Sabr. Let me hold it. Sabr and number two, contentment. Contentment. Now, contentment is a higher level. Real quick, I'm going to go into this real quick. I don't want to go too deep. But there are three stages of sabr, yo. There are three stages of sabr. Number one stage of sabr is tasabr. That's to pretend patience. Like they say, fake it till you make it, right? That's the first level of type of sabr. Number two is sabr, like just be patient, right? Number three is called istibar, which is to enjoy the calamity and enjoy the test that you're going through. Now, you may be like, yo, that's some weird stuff. Like, how could you enjoy a calamity? Again, I'm gonna use the gym. You know, when you first go to the gym, you don't enjoy it. Then you get to the point where you're dealing with it. Then after a while, you do it so much, you actually enjoy the pain of working out. You feel me? And so that's what happens at the highest level of sabr. The Sahaba reached this level, no joke. Sahaba reached this level where they enjoyed the calamity. The same way brothers at the gym, sisters at the gym, when they're working out, they enjoy the tear, the burn. They're like, yeah, yo, I'm feeling that. Similarly, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Similarly, these are the levels of sabr that a person goes through. First, you pretend to be patient. Second, you're patient. And third, you actually enjoy the calamity that you're in. And that's some ajib stuff right there. That's high level. So number four, as we see on the screen right now, number four is what? Number four is that don't focus on anything except the right that Allah has upon you in the calamity. And that right is He wants to see my patience at this moment. All right, next. Let's move to number five. On Instagram, you can't see number five, but it's all good. Just hear me out, inshallah. This one is very beautiful, very beautiful. We're talking about patience with calamities. How to have patience during a calamity. Number five. Shuhudu taratubiha alayhi bi dhanbihi. What are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? He says number five thing. The fifth thing that you should focus on whenever a calamity hits you is your sins and your disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope y'all feel me on that one. That's a heavy one. Sometimes we're not getting the message. Sometimes we're not getting the message. And the message is you've been messing something up. You've been disobeying Allah. And the proof of it is in the Quran right here. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ أَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, hold on, am I on the right one? Give me 1 second, guys. Yeah, right here. You can see it all on the screen now. Alhamdulillah. Okay, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, no calamity afflicts you except that it was because of what your own hands brought. And so one of the problems we have nowadays, right, in the Muslim community is we don't own up to sin. Like, we write off sin. We justify sin. No, such and such scholar said I'm good, yo. Yo, I found it. I found a Google, you know, I Googled it. I'm good. We're good. What you mean you good, yo? Like 9 out of 10 scholars say, like, that's haram, bro. You're like, yeah, you know, but there's one. So we like to justify sin. And so the reason I'm bringing that up is because if you keep justifying sin, you're never going to do tawbah. And look what he says next. He says, وَهَذَا عَامٌ فِي كُلِّ مَصِيبٍ دَقِيقَ أَوْ جَلِيلًا. He says, this is the case, whether it's a small calamity or a major calamity. As I said before, the Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith, this hadith is amazing. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, if you reach in one pocket looking for something and it's not there and you have to reach in the other pocket, that's a musibah too. That's a musibah. That's a calamity, right? Like, that caused you some harm. And because, so what he's trying to say is, any type of calamity that you're experiencing, all calamities are based on sin. And so, okay, all right, cool. So then what am I supposed to learn from that, Mikhail? What am I supposed to get from that? Look what he says next. He says, shuhudu hadha sabab bil istighfar. Once you realize that, then the moment the calamity hits, you start to engage and busy yourself in istighfar. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. هُوَ أَعْظَمُ أَسْبَابٍ فِي رَفْءِ تِلْكَ الْمُصِيبَةِ. He says, this is the best, this is the greatest means by which you can lift or take off or alleviate from yourself a calamity. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And yo, the Prophet ﷺ, you know, nowadays, subhanAllah, if you're with your boys and you just like pop out a astaghfirullah, 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 they're going to be looking around like, what you looking at, man? What's going on? Where's that? What's that? What's up? But we should just be used to istighfar. Istighfar should just be like regular, just regular, like throughout the day. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I seek forgiveness more than 70 times a day. And so my advice to myself and everybody else is regular istighfar, man, takes the musibah away. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Now, istighfar is interesting because it can be a very rarefied istighfar or it can be a general istighfar. Sometimes you know what you did wrong. So you're like, astaghfirullah, ya Allah, forgive me for that sin right there. But other times throughout the day, we just did so much stuff that we didn't even realize. That's when you got the subha in your hand and you just like, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. With focus, but you're repeating it regularly. قَالَ عَلِي بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ. Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ, he said, مَا نَزَلَ بَلَاءٌ إِلَّا بِذَنْبٍ. It's on the screen right there. You can see it. مَا نَزَلَ بَلَاءٌ إِلَّا بِذَنْبٍ. Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he says, no calamity ever comes except due to a sin. وَلَا رُفِيَ بَلَاءٌ إِلَّا بِتَوْبَةٍ. And no calamity is ever taken away except through tawbah. Except through tawbah. SubhanAllah. See, again, we're learning what message, what lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly teaching us through this moment. This moment of calamity is a learning moment. What is Allah trying to teach me in this moment? What am I supposed to do? So he teaches us number 5 is to realize that the cause was a sin and you have the power to alleviate this thing, relieve it by doing tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that helps, inshallah ta'ala. I mean, subhanAllah, as I was reading this, guys, I'm like, man, Subhanallah, it's powerful. You know what I mean? It's really powerful when you read the works of these great scholars, man, because it enlightens your heart, man. It opens your mind. It opens your heart to realize what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me in a calamity. All right, let's move on to number six. What is the six means by which I can get through a calamity, a hardship? Look what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he says. He says, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ إِرْتَضَاهَا لَهُ وَاقْتَارَهَا وَقَسَمَهَا. He says, knowledge. So before we were looking at what are the things to focus on, right? I told you in the beginning that he was teaching when you're in the calamity, what should you focus on? What should you focus on? Now he's switching the gears on us. He's like, you need to know some things. There's some things that you need to have knowledge of when a calamity hits you. So this is one. He says, you need to know in the depth of your heart and mind that Allah chose this for you. That Allah chose this for you. Like, well, hold on. What does that mean? That means what you're going through right now was specially designed for you. That difficulty you're experiencing, that's not by mistake. That's not by mistake. That was, you were chosen for that situation. وَاخْتَارَهَا وَقَسَمَهَا. And then he says, it's a different book. I'll share it with you guys in a minute. وَأَنَّ أُبُودِيَتِي تَقْتَدِي رَضَاهُ بِمَا رَضِيَ لَهُ بِهِ. He says, and your job as a servant of Allah is to be content with the thing that Allah is content for you. Once I realize that Allah wants this for me and Allah is pleased with this state for me, then I slip into a state of submission where I'm happy because Allah has chosen me for this moment. So what we're learning, see, all of these, they're not all used at the same time. At different moments, okay, whenever I'm hit with a calamity, right, and I'm reading this, different things will hit me at a different time to help me through that calamity. And so this one tells me, if I'm going through it, look what he says next. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُفِي هَذَا الْمَقَامْ حَقَّهُ فَهُوَ لِذُعْفِهِ فَلْيَنْزِلْ إِلَى مَقَامِ السَّبْرِ عَلَيْهَا فَإِنْ نَزَلَ عَنْهَا نَزَلَ إِلَى مَقَامِ الظُّلْمُ وَتَعَدِّي الْحَقِّ. He's like, what you're supposed to realize is that your position at this moment is contentment with what your purpose is, contentment with that thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained and put upon you in that moment, realizing that he chose it for you and destined that thing for you. And I guess, guys, the way that helps, again, it goes back to the one we said before. When you realize it's written, it's connected to that one. When you realize it's written, there's a level of contentment that comes with it. Now, I'll say one more thing on this one. When I realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, when I have this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and then I say to myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this moment for me to get through, he's chosen me for this particular one, all right, let me get through this test. Let me get through this test. Isn't sometimes the calamity a test though, rather because of a sin? Yes, of course. Of course, 100%, 100%. He's going to explain that in a minute. I got you. He's going to explain that in a minute. Let's look at number seven. Stick with me. Let's look at number seven. He says, number seven, as you can see on the screen, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ هَذَا الْمُصِيبَةِ, that you have to know that this calamity, هِيَ دَوَاءٌ. Look what he says next. He says, you got to know that this calamity is medicine. سَاقَهُ إِلَيْهِ الطَّبِيبُ, that a knowledgeable doctor has brought to you. بِمَصْلَحَتِهِ الرَّحِيمِ, for a merciful purpose. فَلْيَصْبِرْ عَلَى تَجَرْعَهُ, so patiently sip the medicine. Yo, you know cough syrup don't taste good. Maybe nowadays they made it taste good. We used to have Robitussin. Robitussin, I don't know how it tastes nowadays, but you know, when I was a kid, it tasted horrible. But Even if the medicine hurts, man, and you see that medicine has a cure, I mean, no jokes, yo. Look at chemotherapy, right? No jokes. Look at chemotherapy, right? Low key, man, what is that? Yo, that's hard, man. That's hard. Why do we go through that? Well, we go through any medicine, any medicinal treatment, we go through it because it's hard, but we see what's at the end of the tunnel. And so what he's saying here, take that same mentality and apply it to the calamity, yo. He says, you got to understand, this musiba is a type of medicine. And so patiently drink it. And he says, don't complain. Don't lose the reward by complaining. Don't be angry at the doctor for giving you Robitussin. I'm helping you. And so, فَيَذْهَبْ نَفْءُهُ بَاطِلًا. If you start complaining, you lose the purpose of it. You lost the point. You missed the message. You missed it. You missed the opportunity. That was an opportunity to be patient, but you missed it because you complained, right? And so this was very powerful for me because I don't know why I'm in this calamity. I don't know. I don't know if it's a sin. I don't know if it's a test. I don't know if it's medicine. But you know what? I'm going to go through this troubleshooting checklist and check off all of these so that I can get through the test, so I can get through the calamity. Whatever the reason may be that I'm going through it, I'm going through all of these. And one of it may be the medicine that I need to set me straight. SubhanAllah. I hope this is beneficial. Yo, for me, honestly, brothers and sisters, like, as I was studying this for this the halaqa tonight, man, I was like, man, this is gold, man. Number eight. Let's look at number eight. He says, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ فِي أُقْبَ هَذَا الدَّوَاءِ مِنَ الشَّفَاءِ وَالْعَافِيَةِ. Number eight is connected to number seven. He says, number seven was to just know that it's medicine. Number eight says, to know that the outcome of this medicine is a cure, shifa, and afia, well-being. وَزَوَالِ الْأَلَمِ, and it will take the pain away. مَا لَا يَحْسُلُ بِدُونِهِ, that nothing else can take away. Nothing else can take away. I think these lectures are on our podcast. I'll check with the Qalam crew, inshallah, but all these lectures should be on the podcast. Wallahu a'lam. But they're definitely on YouTube right now, and it's also on Facebook, all right? It's also on YouTube and on Facebook as well. Live on Facebook and recording on Facebook. Okay, so number eight was to know that the outcome of the medicine is your cure. The outcome of the medicine is the cure. That will help you through the musibah. فَإِذَا طَالَعْتَ نَفْسَهُ كَرَاهِيَةِ هَذَا الدَّوَى. When you feel yourself disliking the bitterness of this medicine, فَلْيَنْظُرْ, so then look, إِلَىٰ عَقِبَتِهِ, look at the outcome. وَحُسْنَ تَعْثِيرِهِ, and the effect of it, the good effect of it. Brothers and sisters, honestly, this is not only in spiritual development. This is in physical well-being, mental well-being, and every part of our lives. This concept, the ability to look past the moment and get through what you got to get through in order for that outcome, subhanAllah, that's a part of life. So apply that to the calamity as well. He says, قال الله تعالى, وَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and perhaps you dislike something, but it's good for you. وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And perhaps you like something a lot, but it's evil for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and you don't know. So here you are complaining, man, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? No, focus on the fact that this could be medicine and there's something good for me at the end. Allahu Akbar. Number nine. And this is what everyone's been talking about in the comments. What about the test? What about the test? Number nine is this. أَنْ يَعْلَمَ, you gotta know at the core of your heart. You have to know deep down inside. And not only that, you need friends that's gonna remind you. أَنَّ الْمُصِيبَةَ مَا جَاءَتْ لِتُهْلِكَكَ تُهْلِكَهُ. وَتَقْتُلَهُ. You have to know that this musibah has not come to destroy you and kill you. وَإِنَّمَا جَاءَتْ لِتَمْتَحِنْ صَبْرَهُ. It's come to test your patience. وَيَتَبَيَّنَ هِنَا إِذِنْ. And in this test, it will become clear. هَلْ يُصْلِحْ لِإِسْتِخْدَامِهِ. Are you a true servant of Allah? وَجُعْلِهِ مِنَ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ. And are you amongst the awliya of Allah? وَحِزْبِهِ أَمْ لَا. Are you the party of Allah? فَإِنْ ثَبَتَ. If you hold on, اصْطَفَاهُ. Allah chooses you. وَخَلَعَ عَلَيْهِ خِلْعَ الْإِكْرَامِ. وَالْبَسَهُ مَلَابِسِ الْفَضْلِ. He dons you with the thobe of honor. He puts on you the clothes of fadl, virtue. And you become amongst the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, وَإِنْ إِنْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ. If the moment the hardship comes, you flee, you turn away, you run. وَنَكَسَ عَلَى عَقِبَيْ. You turn on your heels. تُرِدَ. Allah's like, all right, go. وَسُفِيَ قَفَى. وَتَضَعَفَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْمُصِيبَةِ. And then more musibas can come. وَهُوَ لَا يَشْعُرْ فِي الْحَالِ. You have no idea that more is coming. You know, subhanAllah, Aisha radiallahu anha, one day there were some people playing in the masjid. They were throwing spears and doing like some dance and stuff like that. Well, not dance. I shouldn't say dance. Everybody's going to be like, oh, he said they were dancing in the masjid. Okay. They were throwing spears and doing some type of thing in the masjid. And everyone's watching. And so the Prophet, he stands in the doorway to block off Aisha so her body's covered. But she puts her head on his shoulder so she can see. Right? And so she's watching the play in the masjid. And after like, you know, some time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, Allahu Alam, how long? He says to her, are you done? Like, you still want to watch? You done? And she's like, no, I'm not done. I want to watch some more. So he stood there. And she tells us, she says, low key, I was done. I was tired of watching. I was testing his love. I was testing his love. Now, we don't know if the Prophet ﷺ knew if he was being tested or not. But regardless of the fact, he passed the test and proved his love. He passed his test and proved his love. Similarly, musibas come to test us. Musibas come to test us, brothers and sisters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us often. Are you going to hold on? Are you going to stay there? Or are you just going to be like, yo, you've been watching for 10 minutes. That's enough. I'm tired. My shoulder hurts. SubhanAllah. So my point is that he says here, yo, the test, it hasn't come to destroy you. It's come to prove that you are amongst the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yo. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to prove yourself to Allah that I will be patient. And guess what? The more you are beloved, the more tests you'll get. Now, some people, they hear that and they're like, nah, I'm done, yo. Uh-uh. The test grows as you get stronger too. The test grows as you get stronger too. It's just like when you work out, you need more reps or more weight because you get used to it. Similarly, you pass this test, the tests get higher. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that the awliya, the anbiya had the highest of tests. They had the highest level, the hardest test. The reason was because they were the strongest, imana. They had the strongest faith. And so the point he's making is next time you find yourself in that test, that musibah, don't lose your cool. Don't lose your patience. Hold on, and get through it to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are amongst his chosen servants. Not everybody can get through it though. Okay, let's see if we can go to the next one, yo. Okay, let's do number 10. Let's do number 10. I hope this is beneficial for you guys as it is for me, inshallah ta'ala. For those who just joined us, man, we are studying Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi's book, which he talks about how to have patience on a calamity, hardship, any hardship, how to have patience, right? Because that's a fact of life. So we need to know how to deal with it spiritually. All right, let's do the next one. Number 10. He says, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَ يُرَبِّي عَبْدَهُ عَلَى السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالنِّعْمَةِ وَالْبَلَاءِ. All right, this is really important, yo. This is really important. Hear me out on this one. He says the 10th way that you will be able to get through musibas is to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does your tarbiyah, does your training through good things, ease and difficulty, through blessings and hardships. فَيَسْتَخْرِجُ مِنْهُ أُبُودِيَتِهِ فِي جَمِيلَ أَحْوَالِ. Allah will pull out from you servitude, slavehood in all circumstances. Okay, check this. This is deep. You know, you get a new job. You know, you get acceptance from the people. You get into the college you want to. You marry the one you want to marry. All of these blessings come. New car, new house. All of these blessings come. Here's the thing you fail to realize. The blessings are just as much of a test as losing the job, losing the house, losing the car, losing the family, losing all these things. The test of getting is just as hard as the test of failing. Some people fail the test of blessings. Some people pass the test of hardship. I don't know if y'all feel me on this. This is really heavy. So you see such and such person getting all these blessings. You're like, dang, man. Allah must love this person. Mm-mm. The blessings are a test. The hardship is a test. Okay, I will say this. The Prophet ﷺ did say, ask Allah for afiyah, ask Allah for tranquility, but don't forget why we are here. And don't forget that the same way the blessings come, similarly, the ease can be, like, yo, Sister Sadia, she said it on point. Sometimes, see, okay, but here's the deal. What are you supposed to, what does Allah want from you when the blessings come? Shukr, gratitude. What does Allah want from you when the hardship comes? Sabr. The point you realize is that sometimes the hardship, it's easier. You could pass the hard one. And that's what the Sahaba used to say, actually. The Sahaba, they said, we went through both tests. We had no food. We had war. We had trouble. We passed that. But then Allah opened the doors of risk. Money, land, yo, power, everything came. And they were like, that's the test we barely pass. So I know most of us are like, yeah, I'd rather have the easy test, but it's not easy. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not as easy as you think. A lot of people sitting in $500,000 houses, but the reality inside that house is nothing but ease. The reality inside that house is nothing but ease. And some people sitting in a one-bedroom apartment, and they chilling. There's peace. There's serenity. There's happiness. So don't get it twisted. The hardship is a test, and the good things are a test as well. Unfortunately, sometimes we only look at the hardship as a test. Let's finish what he's saying. This is beautiful, man. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ مَنْ قَامَ بِعُبُودِيَةِ لَعَلَى اخْتِلَافِ الْأَحْوَالِ. He's like the true servant, brothers and sisters. The true servant is the one who's a slave in all those states. Allah blesses you. I want to make this super practical, yo. Yo, Allah is blessing you. You looking around, everything is going good. You know your husband is you know, got his game together, wifey's on top of things, job is going good. At that moment right there, you literally just got to stop and be like, this is the test. This is a test, yo. Allah wants to see if I'm going to be grateful for this. Or will I think I'm supposed to have all this? Right? That's just pause, look around and be like, Alhamdulillah, Allah, this is all from you. He's like, listen, some people, look the word he uses. He says, some people are Abdussara, the slave of good times. Subhanallah. He said, some people are the slave of good times. What does that mean? You only worship Allah when everything's going good. He says, "Amma abd al-sarra'i wal-afiya alladhi ya'budu Allah 'ala harf fa in asabahu khayra itma'anna." If good stuff happens, he's all good. When asabu fitna, if hardship comes, I'm out of the deen. I'm done. I don't want to be Muslim no more. I'm done. Allah never gave me anything. Astaghfirullah. Falaysa min abidihi. He's not a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you notice he used the word abd al-sarra'? Not Abdullah. Sarra means servant of good times. That means you only worship Allah when everything is going good. Subhanallah. All right, we're going to have to wrap this up in a minute, inshallah. وَلَا رَيْبَ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ الَّذِي يَثْبُتُ عَلَى الْمَحَقِّ الْإِبْتِلَى وَالْعَافِيَ مَا هُوَ الْإِيمَانَ النَّافِعَ وَقْتِ الْحَاجَةِ. At the time of need, the true iman, and al iman alladhi yathbutu, the iman that is firm, ala mahak al ibtila, at the time of the test, wal afia, and at the time of peace, hu al iman, that is true iman, that is true iman, that is true iman. I think we should stop here, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanallah. So, hold on. This is beautiful. I'm going to read one more thing. Fal ibtila, he says, hardships, kiru al-abd, wa mahak al-imanihi, fa imma an yakhruju tibran ahmar, wa imma an yakhruju zaghalan mahvan, wa imma an yakhruju fihi ma'adatani, dhahabiyya, wa najasiyya, wa nahasiyya, fala yazalu bihi al-bala, hatta yakhruju ma'ada. He's like, listen. He's like, you know, you take a match. If the match is good, right? If it's a good match, you rub it, it lights up. Fire, light comes, it sparks, right? He's like, but sometimes a match is dead. It doesn't, something's wrong with it, right? It's whatever. It's a firecracker. That's a dud, you know? So he's like, the test is to see what you're made of. And so that's what he's saying again here. He's like, the test is the thing that it's that movement to see what's inside of you, what's your reality, right? So subhanAllah, man, this is beautiful stuff. Brothers and sisters, it's been about 45 minutes, 48 minutes. So I think that's enough. We're on our screens all day, so I'm not going to overload you guys. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to see the beauty in the tests and to get through the tests that we see in our lives and realize that the blessings are a test. And the hardships are a test. Brothers and sisters, we went over 10 different ways, 10 different ways to help you get through calamities. I pray that this was beneficial for you. It was beneficial for me because it reminded me that, yo, everything, things change. Hardship is a part of this dunya. Allah made it that way. And you know what? Next time the hardship hits me, inshallah, I'm going to use it as an opportunity to prove to Allah that I am His chosen servant. I am His chosen servant. I'm going to get through the test. I'm going to do Tawbah. I'm going to do whatever Allah wanted me to do through this test. But what I can't do is I can't complain. And I can't complain because He's given me millions of blessings. And one time He tests me with a little worry. And now I complain. I didn't complain about the ease I had. I didn't complain. I didn't say anything about all the blessings. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make realize the only true calamity, like my man Hassan, me and Hassan Shibli were talking last night, man. Yo, the only true calamity is to lose your relationship with Allah. That is a calamity beyond all calamities. Feel me, hear me out on this, brothers and sisters. The only true calamity to be called a calamity is to lose your faith and relationship with Allah. Everything else is temporal. Everything else is short-lived. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to love Allah and realize that is the best thing we have, is our relationship with Allah. Not the followers, not the wealth, not the house, not the attention, none of that. It's all, the only thing, the only calamity is to lose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank you everyone. Jazakumullahu khair. I pray and hope this was beneficial for your hearts, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'll see you guys next week, inshallah, 7:30 Central Standard Time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.